Yeah, so our main objective or goal is to really try and get that open pittable resource up to a level where we have at least a half a billion tons of resources, likely at an inferred level, at about roughly a 0.2 copper cutoff grade. And what that gives you really is about 14, 15 years life of mine with about 100,000 ton per day operation, which I think would be needed. Given that, we're looking at, valuations, we would think in the order of, right now at a, say, 170 million. It's a bit of a moving target, obviously, but less than probably 5 cents per pound in the ground kind of thing. And, with copper close to $6 a pound these days, certainly lots of value left to add to the company, I guess, from a valuation perspective. We'll have some core from hole 37, which I think was one of the best holes I've ever drilled in my career. We'll have that at our booth in Toronto. Take the time to come by and take a look at that core.
Good day, everyone. It's Steve Yang here. I am with Richard Osman, who is Director CEO of Element 29 Resources. How are you, Richard?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Steve. How are you doing?
Not bad. Richard, I wanted to, before we start, actually, if you can give your tickers of where you're trading and your website, and then let's jump right into it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, for sure. Element 29 is listed on the Venture Exchange under ECU. We're also listed on the OTCQB in the United States under EMTRF, and on the Lima Stock Exchange, the BBL, as ECU as well.
Richard, if you can tell our listeners, for those of us who don't know Element 29 Resources much at all, if you can kind of tell us what stage you're in, where you guys are, and what you guys are all about.
Yeah, so Element 29 is obviously the name. 29 is the atomic number of copper. So it's an indirect way of saying that we're a copper-focused junior mining, junior resource sector company. We're in the process of advancing four projects, with our flagship being ELYTA, which is located about 200 kilometers north of Lima. And ELYTA, we managed to get that project with about 5,000 meters of drilling completed. And we did an additional 4,500 meters, and we put together a fairly early stage initial mineral resource estimate, which we've obviously filed. And you can take a look at that on our website. And we outlined roughly 322 million tons of 0.32 copper, 0.03 molybdenum, and 2.61 grams per ton silver at a 0.2 cutoff. So that's sort of our starting point, and we've been actively drilling. I would say that by the end of 2025, we had over 22,000 meters of drilling completed. So we're getting pretty close to the time where we need to upgrade that resource model.
So when you update the model, are there expectations that it's going to drastically change, or do you kind of know what you have right now?
Yeah, so our main objective or goal is to really try and get that open pittable resource up to a level where we have at least a half a billion tons of resources, likely at an inferred level, at about roughly a 0.2 copper cutoff grade. And what that gives you really is about 14, 15 years life of mine with about 100,000 ton per day operation, which I think would be needed. That would be sort of what we think would be, something that would be a really nice starter pit that would be economically viable, potentially. We haven't done the
And
math
Richard,
yet, so we still have to do the work to see Steve, but I mean, get to a PEA level is what our main objective is with that project.
if you can tell us about the jurisdiction there, how much land you have, how much what's the potential we're looking at here?
Yeah, so ELYTA itself, which is our main project, as mentioned, we have about 22,000 hectares of titled concessions there. So quite a large land package. And the project itself is located on the eastern side of that. It's got very good access. You can get to it on paved road all the way to the project area. You know, it's about 70 to 80 kilometers in from the coast. And, you know, really good access, low elevation, about 1,600 meters. And we also have three other projects south of Lima, you know, for a total of about 27,000 hectares of title concessions at the moment.
Can you tell us about the grade a bit and just a little bit more about the access to water that you have there?
Yeah, so Elida is certainly on the western side of the Cordillera. It sort of sits in the Atacama Desert, but it also is on the side of a valley where there is water access. What's really good about the project, we think it's very strategically well located. You know, it's at low elevation, close to the coast. There's really good infrastructure along the coast. We're about probably 100 kilometers from the Antamina port. We can drive there in probably an hour and a half. We also have the Chancay port to the south, which, you know, we can access in about 2 hours. So we're really well located, we think, for mine development.
Richard, you guys are in Peru primarily for the flagship, correct? And so my understanding about Peru is that it's a pretty big producer of copper. How is it as a jurisdiction in terms of friendliness? And if you can tell us about kind of what makes that area attractive, are there other companies there, neighboring companies that we should know about?
And Peru is, I think, the second, maybe third largest copper producer in the world. It tends to sort of, I think it lost its status in 2024 as the second. The DRC sort of took on that title, but Peru has historically been the second largest copper producer, and I think it'll regain that this year, or 2025. But, you know, it's a world-class mining jurisdiction, really. You know, and good thing about Peru is that it has, you know, mining makes over 60% of its exports, about 10% of its GDP. We think it's probably the lowest cost copper producing country in the Americas. And, you know, it also has a free trade agreement with Canada, the United States, China, which is really good for, you know, getting money in and out of the country, no double taxation. And, you know, you can also get equipment in, things like that. You know, so that's really important. The other thing it has is a bilateral investment treaty with Canada, the United States, and I think China as well. And that's really important for investment protection. You know, if you're going to spend $1 billion or multiple $1 billion developing a large porphyry copper deposit, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, that capital is obviously protected. So, you know, major mining companies, in my opinion, are very actively exploring, developing, and operating in Peru. Good example that would be Quellaveco, which got its permit or just started operating back in 2023. Tech and have their Zafranal project. They just got the EIA, environmental certificate, to develop that mine back in 2023 as well. So as long as you have community support in Peru, you know, generally speaking, permits tend to come.
Richard, if you can tell us about who else is there in the area, do you have close neighbors or, you know, realistic comps that investors should look at?
Yeah, I mean, Elida is sort of a little bit more isolated from some of the other deposits in Peru. It sits in an older arc closer to the coast, and there hasn't been many discoveries. I don't think any of the age. The rocks are Eocene in age, which is quite unique. That arc sort of disappears in southern or northern Chile, and then for whatever reason, it shows up again north of Lima. And, you know, some of the largest copper mines in the world are sort of in that arc. But we do have Antamina about 100 kilometers north, and that's sort of a mine that's being operated by BHP, Glencore, and a couple of other minor players there. So, you know, it's in a world-class mining jurisdiction. So it's quite unique in the sense that we pretty much discovered sort of a new arc. or at least the extension of that arc into that part of the world, so, or into that part of the Andes, which is quite exciting, and we're still exploring it. It's really neat.
Richard, if you can tell us about your market cap, and do you see an opportunity here for investors? Where is the maybe the biggest disconnect with where you guys are?
Yeah, you know, I think our market cap has come down a little bit from what it was back earlier in January. So we're probably just under 200 million, maybe about 170-ish, maybe even a little lower at this moment. whatever the case, I mean, we think that, you know, with our project portfolio, and we already have resources on the books, we're looking to expand on those. We like to sort of think of our valuation based on pounds of copper in the ground, you know. So right now, even with our existing resource model, we have over a million tons of copper, you know, as part of that resource, plus some moly and silver credits. So, you know, given that, you know, we're looking at, you know, valuations, we would think in the order of, you know, right now at a, say, 170 million is a bit of a moving target, obviously, but like, you know, less than probably 5 cents per pound in the ground kind of thing. And, you know, with copper close to $6 a pound these days, certainly, lots of value left to add to the company, I guess, from a valuation perspective. And if we increase to half a billion tons of resources, that brings it up to about 2.5 million tons of contained copper, which would then be quite significant as well for us.
Do you know your cost of drill per meter, and like, does the area give you an advantage because of where you guys are?
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, drilling is a little bit slow because we're in the Atacama Desert, so there isn't much of a water table, so we have to use a lot of water. But the good thing about that is it's really good for mining. So again, another strategic advantage. But all in, our costs for assays, geology, support for communities and things like that, and employment of geologists and you know, support for the project, we're looking at around $500 to $600 US a meter all in, which is quite good.
And then your share structure, if you can go over that with me, your shares outstanding, fully diluted, options, warrants, don't need to be mentioned.
Yeah, we definitely, you know, we have about 155.5 million shares issued, and about 185.4 million fully diluted. We have about 19.4 million warrants issued, and about 10.5 million. Options and RSUs, the SUs. But we have some really good, shareholders in there. You know, we have Acosta at the UK fund, and we also have RCF in there, which is based out of Denver, private equity group. You know, the founding company have about 9.9% interest, and then management board have about 5%, and then the remaining 70% is very tightly held. I would say Haywood Securities under David Elliott, and you know, some other brokers at Haywood likely control close to 60% of the equity in Element 29. So we're very loyal shareholder base.
And then, Richard, if you can tell us about yourself a bit, just kind of your background and maybe key team members to that can ensure that, you know, investors are investing on a team that knows what they're doing, that's not a square, you know, peg in a round hole sort of thing, and if you guys have the right pieces in place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my background, mostly worked for major mining companies in the early part of my career. Very fortunate to work on some world-class deposits, primarily in the nickel space in Canada. I started my career working for Falconbridge, and then managed to get a job at Voisey's Bay. Spent 3 years there helping to drill off that ore body and do some exploration around it. And then I ended up getting, well, that project started to slow down for political reasons primarily. So with that experience, I ended up getting a job with Falconbridge, which is now Glencore, of course, at the Raglan mine, which started in the mid 90s and still actively producing. So a world-class nickel deposit in northern Quebec. I spent about 5 years there before we drill up a lot of mineralization. I mean, in that project, we were working primarily at, all the way from early exploration all the way up to infill drilling, to replace ore that was being mined, on site. So lots of experience, from a very early stage of exploration all the way up to, in mine. Also after that, I took a job with Anglo American. I think it was 2004 as one of the senior technical leads, responsible for North America and Europe. And, some of the early work that we did as part of that, eventually led to the discovery of Sakatti in Finland, which was pretty exciting as well. I'm very pleased to be involved in some of the technology that was developed and some of the exploration work that was done with that. And I resigned from Anglo back in 2008, and I started a private generative company that spent about eight years exploring for copper in Peru, and then we sort of spun Element 29 out of that portfolio.
Richard, for people who are excited about copper or they want to invest in something like a something that's kind of like basically tangible, and they believe in the what copper does and what the markets it provides for, why Element 29? I mean, what would you say to them? What excites you about Element 29? Why do you see an opportunity for investors here?
That's a good question, Steve. I mean, continuing with our team as well, Brad Mercer joined our board about 2 years ago. And Brad used to be the chief operating officer for Capstone Mining, and he's our chair. So he also brings a lot of value to the company and a lot of expertise. He retired from Capstone in 2022 after building the company from like a $20 million market cap all the way up to $5 billion. But I mean, I would say the thing that's really exciting to me about Element 29 is that we're not really miners, we're really explorers. And our job is to, basically create value by finding deposits, filling those deposits, and also de-risking them, getting to a point where they become a world low-hanging fruit in Peru, which is a world-class mining jurisdiction. And that to me is where we have the most expertise and the ability to add the most value.
And then you and your team, you guys have been in Peru for a while. I mean, I know you guys mentioned the permitting is pretty easy if you have the right connections. If you can tell us about the connections a bit and just kind of what your experience is in Peru as well as the connections that you guys as a team have there.
Yeah, we've been very active there for quite a while as a group, and we are our chief technical officer and country manager is Manuel Montoya. He's been very active in the mining sector for quite a long time. He started his career with Cominco, which then became Teck Cominco, and obviously Teck. And I think when he left, he resigned from Teck to join the Element 29 team. And was one of the founders of Element 29, and he was involved in the early discovery of Zafranal with Teck. I would say first boots on the ground there. So we have a lot of in country expertise, and Manuel is really the lead there.
And then, how do people follow you, your story one more time, your website? How do people connect if you have any relevant socials? And then, if you can give your tickers one more time for us.
Yeah, I mean we're always available. We do a lot of outreach. We'll be at the PDAC coming up in a couple of weeks in Toronto. We'll also be heading to the SMI conference a little bit later in March as well. As mentioned, Element 29 is listed primarily on the Venture Exchange here in Canada under symbol ECU.
Yeah, I'll be there at PDAC and I'll see you. But just want to be clear for our sponsor, for our audience, Element 29 is not a sponsor. They have not paid for this interview. I am interested as an investor. I am not currently investing, although that may change. Please do your own due diligence and research. I am not giving investment advice. And one of the ways you can do that is you can reach out to Richard, follow their story, check out their website, listen to or follow their tickers as well. But everybody stay smart, stay curious, stay disciplined. Richard, thanks so much for your time and introducing us to Element 29 here.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. We'll have some core from hole 37, which I think was one of the best holes I've ever drilled in my career. We'll have that at our booth in Toronto. Take the time to come by and take a look at that core.
I certainly will, and I look forward to continuing to follow your story. Thanks so much for your time, Richard.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Bye.